Why do we exist? Were we created with a purpose, or are we just here by chance? What are we to believe about life, faith, and worldview? Welcome to The Universe Next Door, focusing on answers to the questions we all consider. Join us as we seek to see a generation captivated and transformed by the truth of Christianity. This is The Universe Next Door.
Welcome to The Universe Next Door. Today we're going to have Tina Deskovich, the co-founder of Moms for Liberty, as we continue our series on defeating defeatism, primarily focused on cultural issues and why we as Christians and as citizens of the United States should not be giving in to this idea that we've already been defeated. And so last week we had Billboard Chris on to talk about trans issues. Awesome episode. We got into a lot of detail, and he actually travels the world going around with a billboard defending children's rights, and sometimes he gets some good responses, sometimes he gets attacked for it. So we talked about some of those situations that he has faced being attacked around the world. And now today we're going to be getting into child grooming in the school system. So we have somebody who has not only been heavily involved with the school system today, but who also is the co-founder of a huge organization, growing organization. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's only a few years old, but it is growing significantly across the country, and you can be part of it. So very excited for today. But before we get into that interview, make sure you hit follow on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you're listening. Just hit follow so you're notified of new episodes as we continue this series. It's going to go on for a little bit longer. We're going to hit a whole bunch more topics. So make sure you hit follow, and also make sure to check out Moms for Liberty if you haven't. With that being said, let's find out how to fight back and stop child grooming. Today we have with us Tina Deskovich, who is the co-founder for Moms for Liberty. Tina, how are you?
I am doing fabulous. How are you today?
I am doing pretty good. First of all, I wanted to say that your organization is doing an awesome job at making a difference. I wanted to kind of start by asking you how Moms for Liberty got started and sort of what you guys do.
One of my favorite questions. Tiffany Justice is my co-founder, and the two of us both were serving on school boards here in Florida from 2016 to 2020. We like to say, while we served, we saw behind the education curtain. We saw how things functioned. We saw how things were broken. We saw the problems with public education up close and personal. And as 2020 unfolded, all of America got to see what was wrong with public education. Lessons were streamed into families' homes, to their dining room table, to their living rooms, and parents kind of woke up and became concerned also. And so when we came off of our terms in 2020, we kind of sat down and had a conversation about how we can help a lot of these parents that were getting thrown out of school board meetings. Their mics were getting turned off. They really weren't being effective in communicating with their districts and with their school districts and the problems they were having. And so we planned out how to do that. And that's how Moms for Liberty came to fruition.
And actually, I have like five questions just off of that. But you also got a pretty cool position recently. I think that you were appointed by DeSantis. What was that all about?
Yes, I recently accepted an appointment to the Florida State Ethics Commission. They are the commission that whenever an elected official, a complaint is filed against an elected official, it rises to the Ethics Commission, and they investigate and evaluate and give recommendations on what should happen to that elected official.
Awesome. And you guys have also been growing like crazy. Like you're in, it looks like most states. You have a map. I'll put the website in the description, but you have a map. You guys are growing all over the place. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we launched January 1st, 2021. So we're a little over 2.5 years old. To tell you the truth, we were just going to be in Florida. We thought over a few years, we would grow to all 67 counties in Florida, and we would help parents organize into chapters that way. 2 weeks after we launched in January of 21, Barbara reached out from Long Island, New York, and wanted to start a chapter in Nassau County. And we agreed to let her do that. And from there, we are now at 300 chapters, 47 states. We're only missing 3 states at this point. And we have almost 130,000 members.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. I mean, it's growing. And when people want to fight for the truth, they'll take part in something. Even I was saying a little bit about this earlier, but when you go on YouTube and like the first 10 videos are something negative, it's like, well, obviously they're doing something good. When you're getting struggle sessions, essentially, it's like you're pretty much being attacked for being moms who don't want your kids to be indoctrinated by views that you strongly disagree with.
Isn't it crazy that we're just moms standing up for our kids, voicing our concerns about education, about losing parental rights in school districts where they're making decisions without parental input or notification or consent. That's all we're doing. That's all we're speaking up about. We're speaking up about pornography in classrooms. We're speaking up about grooming of children, things that are happening that are inappropriate. Comprehensive sex ed, which isn't sex ed like when I was a kid and there was a film strip where that showed biology. Comprehensive sex ed, pleasure-based sex ed. I mean, we're speaking out against things 2 and 3, 5 years ago everybody would agree with, but the world is upside down right now.
And you guys have a phrase you've kind of made famous, which is that you don't co-parent with the government. There's a few things I wanted to get into, because a lot of us, now that I have kids, I've always cared about this, but now I care even more. I mean, I've worked with students for a number of years of all ages, but what is it exactly that you saw change? It was already bad. It's been decades. But when you went from like 2016 or 2017 to the sort of the pandemic years, and the schools were now brought at home and parents could see what was going on, what are some of those things that parents saw going on that were so concerning?
So I'll start with some of the things that I saw starting happening as soon as I was elected to school board here in Florida. Around the state, we formed a coalition of other school board members where you talk and rely on each other to see what's going on in different districts, because your issues are often the same. And what was happening in districts around the state of Florida as early as 2017 and 2018 is the districts were bringing in these support guides for LGBTQ students. And the support guides were not ever run by the school board. They never were made into policy, which would have legally had to have gone public and been noticed and given parents an opportunity to come and read and speak out about, and school boards to vote on, so that they would have a on the record where they stood on these issues. These guides were brought about, now we know where they came from. They came from Equality Florida, a third-party special interest group. They were placed in the hands of school districts, the bureaucrats, and implemented. And, school board members were finding out that this was going on in their districts and getting upset. At that point, not in my district, it hadn't happened. That didn't happen until right after I came off the school board, interestingly enough. But these procedural guides were teaching teachers and counselors and school administrators how to approach LGBTQ students and issues. And so what they were doing is they were setting them up to have closed door meetings with adults where these children could pick their own, a new gender, a new name, a new pronoun, which restroom they wanted to use, which locker room, where they wanted to sleep, and overnight field trips. And in many of these procedural guides, it would be very clear that you are not only not going to share this information with parents, we're going to let children sign these legal documents, these minors, we're not going to let the parents know what's going on. But the procedural guides laid out that they were going to deceive parents, that we will use your birth name and your birth pronoun when talking to your parents. So red flags were going up as early as 2018. I think what happened with COVID is parents, across the country started realizing these things were happening as Moms for Liberty chapters were forming. They were doing public records requests and learning that these things were happening.
Wow. So this is a group that came in sort of under the radar, and their intention, like you're showing, they were clearly deceptive, because they were going to say, we're going to use your birth name and your gender when talking to your parents, but when you're at school, it's going to be a whole different story.
Yeah. And Equality Florida and other organizations like them sell that to educators and education leaders, because they say, if you don't do this the way we say you need to do this, your child will die. Your choice, the children in your school will die. They will commit suicide. And so unsuspecting educators that don't know a whole lot about some of these things, they read that guide from an organization that represents the LGBTQ community, and their only choice is to do this or the kids in my classroom are going to die. I mean, it's so absurd. It's so extreme. There's no in between. And so, some people do it, I think, with bad intentions, but some educators do it because they feel like they had no other choice.
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of teachers who think they're doing something compassionate, because that's how they sell it. They sell it like, we're just going to be compassionate. We want to be there for the students. In reality, they're indoctrinating them. They're turning them into Marxist activists. And this is something that's been happening. I mean, we're going to cover this in another episode, but that's been happening since the late 80s and early 90s when it came into the country. But now we're seeing it really just explode. And like you said, when this stuff came home, parents are now able to see it right before their eyes and kind of see what was sort of hidden from them and what came in under the radar.
not to mention the curriculum that parents saw streamed into their living rooms, anti-American type rhetoric, anti-white male rhetoric, anti-foundational principles of America, anti-Christian rhetoric. It's parents are looking and awake now, and there's just every day they send us something else. And you think I wouldn't be shocked anymore, but I'm always like, I cannot believe this is out there and that no one has seen it before and no one has spoken about it and no one's been concerned about it previously. It's really shocking.
And there are some examples people have come to mind, like, you know, we've all heard stuff on the news about them teachers lining kids up from like this class to that class or from this race to that race and their privilege, who's more oppressed, who's less oppressed. And I've even heard things from students in my own church who will say, yeah, I was doing an English exam and all of a sudden there was a question about how this thing makes me feel about race. There's all these sort of fringe examples people might hear in the media, and they'll try to dismiss them because it sounds like something out of the ordinary. It sounds like something extreme and maybe just one teacher got out of hand. But what are some things you've actually observed that are going on in schools? You mentioned this group, the equality, quote unquote, equality group coming in. What are some things you've actually observed that are going on in the classroom that are being used to indoctrinate our kids?
Yeah, where would you like to start? The whole state of New Jersey's adopted comprehensive sex ed for their children as young as pre-K all the way through 12th grade. When you look at that, by second grade in those standards, they are to instruct children. Children are to understand by the end of second grade if they, that they can be a boy or a girl, they could be neither or both, and that it can change from day to day. I mean, that's just some of the most basic stuff that's being taught in public schools now. There's districts all across the country that have also adopted the same standards. I encourage anyone that's listening to this to head down to your local school district or get online and do a public records request and see what the sex ed standards are that they're using. You may be shocked. They teach about abortion. They teach about oral and anal sex. They teach about all types of things that most parents, I think, would be shocked to know that they're learning in school. There's other things going on. I think on our Joyful Warrior Moms for Liberty podcast last week or just a few days ago that was released, the most recent episode, our chapter chair in Mecklenburg, North Carolina, is a Jewish woman. And she got started and started her chapter in Moms for Liberty because during COVID, her daughter was taking a test. And her daughter came to her with one of the questions, and it was asking her basically in the question, which is worse, the Holocaust or slavery? And the answer, the correct answer, because Brooke, the mom, went to the teacher and said, why are you comparing these two things? Why are you dividing these two groups, these horrible atrocities? Like, there's no comparison. This is an education. And the correct answer, just in case you're wondering, slavery was apparently worse than the Holocaust, unless, of course, you're a Jewish woman and a descendant of someone who was murdered in the Holocaust. So it's lesson after lesson. It's more divisive, more hateful, it's nonstop in Nashville, Tennessee, right outside of there. Second graders were being taught the N-word by their teacher in the instructional manual. It actually told them, say the N-word, teach the students about the N-word so that they can feel empathy. I didn't want my second graders knowing the N-word at that age. There's just no reason for them to be exposed to that. So it's just constant and it's everywhere.
And when we say sex education, we don't mean like even when I was in school, we're talking like they're actually doing education about having sex.
Yeah, I think it's in Wisconsin, actually. It's in Wisconsin. There are school districts in sixth grade, so middle school students. The teachers are purchasing male genital parts, fake male genital parts, and teaching them how to put a condom on that, things of that nature in middle school. So it's parents are finding out and they are not happy at all.
No, I hope they wouldn't be happy. And that's another thing I wanted to ask for those of us who are concerned with this, who are wanting to do something. What can we do to get involved with Moms for Liberty?
So Moms for Liberty chapters, the one thing that we do is we oversee the local school districts. So Moms for Liberty chapters meet monthly in a chapter meeting. They pull down local school board agendas. They research them. We teach them where school boards like to hide things in those agendas. We teach them about budgeting and where things are hidden in the budget that parents and community members would need to understand. And each community tackles the issues that are concerning to them. Sometimes it's a tax referendum. Sometimes it's the history textbooks or the English textbooks. Sometimes it's library books that have pornography in them. It really varies from community to community. And the national organization is here just to support parents that are working to combat these issues in their communities. So, you know, we want everyone to go to our website, momsforliberty.org. You'll see the big map on the front. Your county is either gold or your county is navy blue. And if it's gold, it means there's a light on in your county and that we have a chapter there already. You can click on it, connect to your chapter, join a committee in that chapter, start attending the meetings, get to be in the know of everything going on and sign up to do some of the work. If your county is navy blue, it means you don't have a chapter there yet. You can click that also and it will take you to how to start a chapter. You don't need much to start a chapter. You need to have a desire. You need to have courage. You need to have 10 people that will help start the chapter with you, 3 leaders. You have to have attended a school board meeting previously, and you'll have to pass a background check and an interview. But we welcome all to either join or start a chapter.
Awesome. And I know this isn't limited to public schools, of course, but if you have, let's say somebody's listening who has kids in public school right now, what should they do? Like, should they stay and get involved? Should they take them out and get involved? Should they just abandon the whole thing, which I wouldn't suggest? What should somebody do if they have students in public school right now and they're hearing this?
I think that's a very personal decision. Every family is unique. Every child is unique. Every school district is different. My older son went all through public school. My younger son, I took him out for 2 years and put him in a private Christian school. Now he's in high school and he's back in the public school. Every student is different. Every circumstance is different, but you have to be awake and involved. 70 to 80% of students in America are still in public schools. So if you're in a district where you have concerns, pull your kids out, homeschool them, private school them, whatever it is that works for your family, but you have to stay engaged. Otherwise, when your child graduates and goes out into the world, they are going to be with 70, 80% of Americans that have gone through basically being indoctrinated in a lot of places. And that's the voting public that you are going to be living with and under. And so I really encourage every parent, every citizen to get involved in helping fix the public education system.
Yeah. And I mean, even whether you're going to keep your kids in school or not, I think getting involved is the key. And when you say getting involved, that means be in contact with the school, go to school board meetings, know what your kids are reading and learning about, but not just knowing, actually doing something about it, showing up and speaking against it. Even if people on the internet are mad at you, it's still worth it for your kids. And many people don't understand that it isn't just there's a bad teacher here or there or something that sneaks in. It's like education has largely been replaced with activism. This is something that's been going on for several decades, and it's just growing and growing to the point where now people are seeing it. But this isn't anything brand new that just popped up.
No, we know this has been going on for decades, but it's really come to a head the last few years. It's extreme. I was just looking at a video this morning out of Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. A gentleman was speaking in support of allowing children to use bathrooms of the opposite sex. And at the end, he actually said, "Hail Satan," and the whole room clapped at the end of that. And so there really is, this really is a battle right now for the soul of our children, for the soul of America. And people really need to wake up and pay attention to what's going on, because it may have been going on for decades in an undercurrent way, in an indirect way. But right now it's front and center. It's on the front stage for all to see, unless you just refuse to look at it.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a Christian apologetic show, so I'm completely on board with calling this a spiritual battle. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it is. That's really what everything is. But yeah, this is something that's now come to the surface. Have you noticed anything different now that kids have gone back to school from being out? I mean, some kids were out for a couple of years, like not having much social interaction, just being stuck at home, having to wear a mask when you're 3, 4, 5 years old. What have you noticed since you're involved in this with the school system? What have you noticed since kids have gone back?
Well, aside from the social issues that obviously have stemmed from small children being masked, not being able to read, we can just take one quick look at the national test scores that came out and know that we have the lowest math scores in the history of the United States right now. We have the lowest reading score since the 1980s. It's devastating to a whole generation of children. Stats show, and every educator knows this, that if you're not reading beyond grade level by third grade, your chances of graduating high school drop dramatically. Your chances of ending up in prison rise dramatically. It's, you know, a child that can't read, it's just devastating to them. And with 2/3 of American fourth graders in America right now not reading on grade level, it's going to be devastating to our country in a very short future.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I'll just be the bad guy here. I don't think that's unintentional. I mean, I think that's a combination of course, school being disrupted with COVID in general, but also the intention to replace what we call education, which is what Marxism has always aimed to do. They went from being radical in the 60s and 70s to moving into the classrooms. And so this isn't anything that, once you kind of understand what's going on and see the underpinnings of it, it's not surprising that this is the result that I think is intentional. But what do you say to critics like, let's say people who, by the way, I find it a little bit suspicious that a lot of the comments from critics on your video are worded like the same way. Makes me think they're mostly agitators. But what do you say to people who would say that Moms for Liberty is just an extremist, group?
We reject that every time we hear it. You know, the Southern Poverty Law Center recently has categorized us as an anti-government extremist group. People like to repeat that over and over. But last year alone, our chapters endorsed in 500 school board races. We won 275 of those seats. We are doing the exact thing our government was set up to do, to get people involved. When you're concerned about the direction of your government, get like-minded people to run, support them as candidates, help them across the finish line. Tiffany and I, the co-founders of Moms for Liberty, gave 4 years of our life to serve on a public school board in a government position. As you open this up with, I was just appointed to help sit on the commission in the state of Florida to help make sure our elected officials are held accountable for their actions and the way they carry themselves in the public and do their job that the public has trusted them with. We are not anti-government, and we most certainly aren't extremists. So we just reject they're doing that to silence us, to shame us, to shut us up so that people won't want to be associated with us. It doesn't work. It doesn't slow us down. It doesn't stop us. We just keep our heads down and keep moving forward because this work is too important.
Well, I'm glad you've decided to do that. They called these struggle sessions in Maoist China, and that's something, especially over the last several years, we've seen a lot of, where if somebody disagrees with you, they're not going to have a discourse or rational discussion. They're just going to crowd around you and shout you down until you give up. So thank you for not giving up. Now, what about those who say that an organization can't promote banning certain books and also be for liberty?
I would say, first of all, that Moms for Liberty does not promote banning books. We are concerned about age inappropriate materials in public school libraries. That is very different from banning a book. We support, in America, you writing any book you want to write. You print any book you want to print. You publish any book you want to publish. Publishers can pick it up. You can put it in any store that you want. Anybody can buy the book. Put it in the public library with taxpayer money, for all I care, down the street. But to put it in a public school, especially when it has pornography, when it has radical ideologies, when it has age inappropriate material, and we have found this over and over, we have proved it, I mean, hundreds of times, that's very different than book banning. That is protecting children. That is having a say in the upbringing of your child. And that's not wanting to expose children to inappropriate material. So the whole argument to me is a false argument.
Yeah. So you're saying obviously there should be some kind of standard for what kids are going to be taught in schools.
Yeah. I mean, we as parents are not there with them to help them select the book, screen the book. It is open to them. Here in my county, which is a very conservative county, the middle school had genderqueer not just on the shelf, but had it on a special display opened. Genderqueer has realistic cartoon type pictures of children performing oral sex on each other. So middle school had access to this out on the bookshelf. Yeah. Some of these things just aren't appropriate. And as a parent, I have the right to stand up at a school board meeting and say that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I can't imagine that was at a middle school library.
Sure was. You wouldn't even believe what we have found in elementary school libraries. All Boys Aren't Blue, which was written for, I say adults, the author says young adults, was found in an elementary school, K-5, by one of our chapters in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. So it's very frustrating. I think yeah. The label of what they try to put on us, and that's just one of the many labels they try to push on us, is exactly what you said. They're struggle sessions. I can't think of too many organizations outside of us that have been struggled more in the last year. You can look at our national summit in Philadelphia 2 months ago. hundreds of protesters came to shout us down. We have video of moms with their kids going into the Museum of the American Revolution, the kids getting off our buses, covering their ears because these radical ideologues are screaming at them, giving them the middle finger, shouting, literally shouting them down, calling them Nazis, calling them all of these names, small children and moms with their kids just trying to go into a museum. So I just think you see those images of the struggle sessions in China, of the youth standing around, a Chinese, I think I've seen the picture of it before, a Chinese man and the youth standing around literally screaming and yelling at him. It's exactly what they were doing to us in Philadelphia. It's exactly what they do to us online every day on our social media. It is nonstop. We put up a post and within seconds they start with the extreme name calling of us, things like Nazis and anti-government extremists and all of the names that you've heard, anything negative, racist, homophobes, bigots. If there's a bad name, we've been called it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm grateful that more people are starting to realize that when that happens to an organization, you should go see what that organization's about, because they're probably doing something good that's stirring everything up. I mean, there are so many great podcasts and things I've heard that I never would have heard if all these media organizations didn't go put them out there and say they're Nazis or they're Hitler or they're, fill in the blank. They gave me reason to go check them out because I said, well, if these people hate it, then it must be good. So I hope more people come to realize that. And I also appreciate what you all are doing for our kids. I mean, at the end of the day, we are responsible for our kids, not the government, not some groomer, not some pedophile who wants them to grow up and be a certain way and think a certain way. We are responsible for our kids. And if there's one right we have, it's a right over our own children. That doesn't need to be something that we give away to the government.
Yeah, we say that all the time. Parental rights are fundamental rights. The government did not give them to us and the government cannot take them away. And that is at the core what Moms for Liberty is all about. It is what we're fighting to protect. We understand that once a parent loses the right to raise their child, once the parent loses the right to direct their medical care, their education, their religious and moral upbringing, we're done. Our families are done, our community is done, our country is done. So this is the line that Moms for Liberty has chosen, was created for, and has chosen to stand in and defend.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of parents see their kids grow up and they go through high school, and all of a sudden they're mad at their parents for being quote-unquote racist when they can't point to anything racist. They want to be a boy instead of a girl. They want to... all of a sudden, they have all these ideas that the parents say, where in the world did these come from? And they didn't come from nowhere. They have been being taught to these kids since they were little. And now in the last several years or so, it's just exploded. So I think that we have to recognize we haven't been defeated. We still have the ability to fight for our children, for our future, and that these are our kids. We still have the ability to be responsible, to raise them responsibly. And that's something that we haven't lost that battle.
If there's one thing that I would add to that, it's our responsibility to teach our children truth and to help them identify truth. All of these things that you've listed out that they're learning now, not just in our public schools, but it's in all of their books now. It's in the cartoons for the youngest, our youngest children. You really have to look and screen everything that's presented to them. But more than anything, I think our role as parents is to make sure they know truth, they're taught truth from us, and that they can identify truth and lies when they come across it.
Amen. I couldn't agree more. Well, thank you so much, Tina, for joining us. The website, Mom for Liberty, will be in the description. So will the Joyful Warrior podcast. So thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for the fight that you guys are pursuing.
I appreciate the time, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about Moms for Liberty. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Universe Next Door. Don't forget to hit follow. Go check that Billboard Chris episode out from last week, and make sure you check out Moms for Liberty, awesome organization, as you've heard. Join us in the fight to raise up our children in the way that they should go, the way that the Lord wants them to go, not in the way that groomers and political activists want them to go. If you have any questions, send them to information@apologetics.org. That's information@apologetics.org. And make sure you come back to check out the rest of this series. The next episode will be next Monday night at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So make sure you come back. We're going to get into where all of this came from now, sort of the foundation of everything you're hearing about and seeing in our country and our schools. A lot of it actually comes from one simple source. And so we're going to be breaking down that source and how it has reached its tentacles into everything, how it has basically poisoned everything in our culture. So make sure to join us back here next week at Monday night at 6 p.m. on The Universe Next Door.